honor.
Awesome. God bless you guys. Wow.
Woo!
Break it out, huh? Man, that was so amazing. That's who we are. So I get to do part two. Last week, we had a great opportunity to get into God's Word, talk about a subject. Anybody remember what it was? What? Right. Righteous. 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 You know, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what?
Righteousness,
right? Well, let me tell you, today, you're going to get a huge raise. All right? Anybody who's ever worked for a living, which is most of the people in this room, that is music to your ears, right? I'm going to get a raise, right? I'm worth more than I make. Right? Most people are not in positions of work where they're saying, I have got so much money, stop the flow. You know what they're saying? I need a raise. I need a raise. Well, you know what? Today you get a raise. Listen to these words. Awesome. Amazing. Great. Valued. Favored for promotion. Not a product of past choices and mistakes. Or, believe it or not, production even. What? You're kidding me, right? A winner, champion, healthy, sound mind, vivacious, vitality, powerful, miraculous. What happens in your heart when you see somebody on the gold medal stand? Does it make you feel a certain way about how you would really like to accomplish success in your life? It certainly does for me. Kind of stirs something in my heart in a way that I can't even really explain. But just the dedication, the discipline, the practice, the skill of the people who have put in the time to get to that level and then to be recognized for that level of success on the world stage. There have been times, I don't know about you, this is true confession, I have watched the Olympics and cried. Because of the level of the performance and the things that happen in sports. Gold winner. Gold medal. And then I look at myself and I say, seriously? Me? Sometimes I think, can I barely even get myself out of bed in the morning? See. Really something. You know, a man fell into a pit and he couldn't get himself out. A subjective person came along and he said, I feel for you down there. An objective person walked by and said, it's logical that someone would fall down there. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into pits. A mathematician calculated how deep the pit was. A news reporter wanted the exclusive story on the pit. A self-pitying person said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. A fire and brimstone preacher said, you deserve your pit. A Christian scientist observed, the pit is just in your mind. A psychologist said, your mother and father are to blame for your being in that pit. An optimist said, things could be worse. A self-esteem therapist said, believe in yourself and you can get out of that pit. A pessimist claimed things will get worse. Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. That's us. Righteous, redeemed. What a testimony. What a story. See, that we have been redeemed from the things that enslaved us, captivated us, with that we idolized as the thing that would bring us success and happiness. I heard a testimony of somebody yesterday, a very moving story. Gentleman's a defensive line coach at San Diego State University. Said from the time he was 8 years old until the time he was 22 years old, the only thing he could dream about was playing professional football. And he said 90% or more of the kids who play on his team right now have that same vision, that same desire. And guess what? He did not make the NFL. They looked past him when it came to the draft, and his whole world came crashing down around him because he realized he put everything about his life into something that really had no value. He had so much vision about, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to play in college. I'm going to get drafted by the NFL. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to sleep with as many women as I can possibly sleep with. I'm going to live in Atlanta, Georgia, and my life will be perfect. And he put his heart into that sort of systematic type of believing. Well, he got really disappointed, didn't he? Because his whole life came crashing down around him when his dream didn't come to pass. The point of the whole testimony was, is if we're putting our trust and hope and confidence in anything other than what God is making available to us by the way of His Son, Jesus Christ, thinking that that's going to bring us happiness, peace of mind, oh, if I only do this, if I only lose weight, then I'll be happy. If I get corrective surgery and I don't have to wear these glasses, I'll be happy then. If I could only buy a nicer home, live in a better apartment, live in a nicer city, I don't know how you're going to get it any nicer.
We're there.
But there's always something that we're looking for to fill us up because we feel so, at times, what?
Inadequate.
See? But where is the focus of our minds? Is it what presents itself in the senses and is trying to convince us of certain truths that really the devil has just propounded and propounded for so long of the world's standards for righteousness, education, good looks, money, the type of house you live in, you fill the blank in. People spend their entire lives struggling to achieve something that really has no value. See? In and of itself, those things are wonderful things. But if that's going to define you as an individual and you're going to formulate your complete, total identity in that, you're in for a long, hard ride because you know what? All of a sudden now it's all about you. And I will do anything that it takes to get what I want and no one's going to get in my way of me getting there. Well, that seems like a very self-focused, self-centered, very selfish way of approaching life. Do you know how many people are out there doing it just like that? Over and over and over and over. It's the story that's being lived out in life. And a lot of times you can come up with a very easy rationalization and justification of why you should do that. Because I was hurt. Because my parents were poor. And now I'm going to be a millionaire. Or you fill in the blank. See. Wow. You're the winner. You don't have to do anything else the rest of your life. You died in the next breath. You'd have all the great things in eternity forever. So it's not based on performance. It's not based on production. It's not based on your bank account. And many times I just say, thank God. See? The thing here is the reality. Christ did the work. Christ did the work already. And now all that I receive by grace. Because I'm righteous now. I'm righteous now. We read a multitude of scriptures last week. See, Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, inner part of who you are. When's the last day you walked without condemnation? Sin consciousness, guilt, fear, doubt, anxiety, worry, all these things that sort of come as the inherited nature of Adam. But just to put your foot down like that John Jorgensen guy said, Satan, no. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Because I am a new man, new creation, new creature. Christ gave His life for this. I am righteous now. One of the verses that Jan talked about was Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was one of the verses on that list, that 30-day journey. Right. One of the literal translations of that verse is, I am infused with explosive power through Christ. I am infused. And if you know what the infusion process is like, it changes the very nature and characteristic of that which it is infusing. Right. Olive oil, wine, I don't know, whatever. A lot of things. What'd you say? Pickles! Pickles are the perfect example. I did a teaching a number of years ago called the pickling solution. Right? Because we are fully immersed in the work of Jesus Christ. That's the baptism. A cucumber goes into the pickling solution, right? It looks like a cucumber. Even when it comes out, it kind of looks like a cucumber, right? But it's completely different, right? Yeah. Got a different taste, different flavor. It's actually taken on the characteristics of that which it was infused by. See? Translate that concept to a spiritual walk. Christ infused strength into us. We have become so identified with Christ, there's no separation. Spiritually. But when we look in the mirror, what do we see? I see the same Jeffrey I saw the day before I got born again, the day after I got born again. I'm looking at the same thing. So it's got to have something deeper, something more to do with convincing ourselves, right? I mean, do we even have to look at Romans 12:2? You guys know this. You probably read it. You could probably teach on it better than I could. Because there are, most of the people in this congregation here are not neophytes. You've heard many of these teachings in a very similar way, and yet we continue to be challenged by life, our thoughts, the things we go through. And be ye not conformed to this world, right? Not, it says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, its way of thinking. And oh, how it wants to. Just, And be not conformed to this world, but it says, be what? Transformed. Transformed by doing something. Renewing your mind. Be transformed. You're not the one doing the transformation process, though, are you? No, you're not transforming yourself any more than the caterpillar and the butterfly. God's doing the transforming. God's doing the transforming. All He's asking is a very simple thing. Think differently. Think differently. Change your mind. What? We only say that to kids, right? We don't say that to ourselves. We don't say that to adults. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Look at yourself in a different way. Say to yourself, I am awesome. I have value. I don't care how many surgeries you've had, how many times you've been in the hospital, how many miscarriages you've had. Whatever the situations and circumstances are, the reality is you have to say what the Word of God says about you. at some point. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. I will be what the Word of God says I can be. End of story. That's it. It's done. I wish it was that easy. Because that's a continual thing that you must say to yourself pretty much on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis, if not a second by second basis. See, it doesn't change the doctrine of who you are as a son of God. There's a big difference between doctrine and practice. I can go to mechanic school, learn everything there is to learn about mechanics, and if I'd never worked on a car, I'm in for a big, a rude awakening the day I open the hood of a car. Because I got all the mechanics memorized. I can tell you about four crucified. I can tell you about the day Jesus Christ died, who Jesus Christ is. I can spout off, talk about every doctrine that was ever known to mankind, and still live in condemnation. And still live in guilt. And still not see really godly results that much. So there's a difference between having knowledge and having a working knowledge of a particular subject in a particular field. See, so there used to be a statement, I don't know if it's really true or not, that said Nikita Khrushchev memorized the entire four Gospels. Here's a communist. I'm not even sure he's obviously maybe not even a Christian. It just shows you the power of the human mind to retain information. Doesn't mean anything, really. See? I guess the greatest challenge to us sometimes is how much you apply of what you know. You know? And some of the people who see the greatest results are those people who know very little and then act upon what they do know, rather than just getting more and more and more and more and more, and you become, you know, forgive my terminology, like a mongoloid, where your head is just so much bigger than your body. It's like the Dead Sea. All it has is inlets, 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 more knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge, more. And then I don't ever really practice it because I feel inept and inadequate to practice it because I need more knowledge. I got to go now. I got to go get a master's degree in mechanics. And then I'm going to get a doctorate degree in mechanics. And then I'll start working on cars. See? We're righteous. Okay, there's a simple one. Every day this week, you say that to yourself. I don't care how you feel, what time you got up, what time you went to bed, what happened in between. If you can convince yourself that what the truth of God's Word says about your righteousness, it's a whole new day. According to Romans chapter 5, it says that we're going to reign in life because of grace, because of righteousness. We didn't get saved, I said this last week, we didn't get saved to become righteous. We became righteous so we could be saved. That's what Christ came to do. Reconcile. He came to redeem man, to make him right with God. Salvation, yes. Eternity. Eternal life. Holy Spirit. But the process of being saved is ongoing. You know? Doctrinally, yes. You received the fullness of everything that could be gotten spiritually. But in a practical sense, I see you, I know you, we all know each other. Who's kidding who? It's a challenge. We're in a war. See? And no matter how pretty we look or aren't pretty or whatever, that's not it. Here's the truth. I'm righteous now. Well, I don't feel righteous. Well, too bad. It doesn't change. Thank God the Word of God being true and real to me is not based on how I feel about it. You know, because if God had that same opinion of us, we would have been done with this whole thing a long time ago. See. But we're being transformed by grace. We have a new life. We're righteous. We're redeemed. We're raised. I want to show this verse here Colossians chapter 3. I knew eventually we'd get to the Bible without so many introductory words, but kind of recapping a lot of what I shared somewhat last week.
Preach it.
Huh? Preach it, yeah. Anyway, this is Colossians chapter 3. I don't know, can you hit this gate? Will it make it bigger? And this is from, I think, an Amplified version. But what it says is, Christ's resurrection from the dead is your resurrection too. When Christ arose from the dead, guess what? We arose with Him. We arose to the newness of life.
Well, you know, Barney, I don't really feel like we've got much newness of life.
And what? So this is the way we promote Christianity now? What value does it have? What power does it have? What power the church had if they only knew it? Right? King James says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. See? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's like if I bust my tail, work hard enough, prove myself, spend 60, 70, 80 hours a week working, you know what? Then maybe I'll get ahead. Okay. But you don't see that as something God's instructing you to do in the Bible. That's a personal choice that you are making. Christ's resurrection from the dead is your resurrection too. Therefore, we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power and honor and authority. Yes, it says, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Yearn, feast, fill. Hey, you know what? Mother's Day is the greatest day of all in restaurant world. People will fill themselves to the brim. I don't know where I was, someplace it was. Oh, at the Island Prime. $59.95. You can go down there and fill yourself to the full. You go to Hotel Del Coronado, $99.95. How much can you eat for $99? It says, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. See? Fill your thoughts. Verse 10. For your new creation life is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. God doesn't say you have to slave and work hard. Matter of fact, Jesus said, all you that labor and heavy laden, if you will come unto me, I'll give you rest. I'll give you a peace that the world never even dreamed about giving. Because the world has no answers. It has no solutions. It has no, doesn't have a peace that passes all understanding. And I'm not making this up. Philippians 4:6, the Bible actually says, don't be anxious about anything. Who in this room can actually say in the last week they have not been anxious, worried, or concerned about one thing? And I'm fine if that could be you. Well, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep, shall guard, protect. You're going into the witness protection program. You are. Because your life is hid with Christ in God. God set it up. You are always and dearly loved by God. So put on the garment of the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. That's God's perspective. God chose you. You didn't choose Him. So quit trying to do it all to get right with God. If He chose you, then He knows how to make it right with you. Many times God is just saying to you, will you just relax a little bit and enjoy some of the benefits that I have blessed you with, rather than trying so hard just to do whatever it is you're doing. See? So here's a couple of things. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. Wow. You know, I would say that has something to do with judgment. Not being so doggone judgmental about yourself and about others and about whoever's doing whatever, whenever. Keep your nose to yourself. Mind your own business. Don't make everybody else's business your business. Gossip is a cancer in the body of Christ. It says so in there. It says to avoid busybodies and people who just want to talk about everybody else and everybody else's... What a waste. You can't do anything about it anyway. Be merciful, so don't... As you endeavor to understand others. And be compassionate. Showing... Yes, it's in the Bible. It's in Ephesians 4:32 too. It says showing kindness towards all. Kindness? Yeah. Does that mean you just have to roll over and let everybody kick you around all day long, every day of the week? No. See, that's not what we're talking about here. It says, be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Oh my gosh. Unoffendable in your patience with others. If you guys never heard a great teaching on offense, then I would recommend you go on the website and listen to a teaching Katie did about overcoming offense. It is... what was the name of that book? Katie?
The Bait of Satan.
The Bait of Satan. The Bait of Satan. You know what it is? Offense. And man, he will work hard to get you offended. Because once you get offended, you put a big wall up around your heart. Things start to happen with you and your relationship with other people. And, you know, pretty soon you're verbalizing certain things that are maybe true or not true. A lot of it is because we get offended by people and we don't speak up. We just run away and bury our heads in the sand and talk to somebody else about it. Why don't you just try going to the person who offended you and let them know that they offended you? That'd be a good place to start. So I went over to Bob, you know, Bob, Jeffrey, you know, he spoke to me and he just... Okay, now Bob's affected by something that happened between Jeffrey and I, right? Anyway. Unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. You see this word? Tolerate the weakness. He's put up with people. And honestly, to be yielding on insignificant matters. Philippians 4 is good about that one too. Everybody's not as perfect as you are. So quit trying to make them that way. Okay? You didn't write the book on Christian etiquette. And we'll leave the judgment and all the things that need to happen up to God. Okay? Our desire is to graciously engage with one another so that it's a blessing. That's why people get taught about manners. So that you become gracious. Whether you're at the White House or you're back there having food when it's served at a lunch we have. That's the purpose of having greater knowledge about manners and in being gracious so that you are adaptable in a variety of situations because you don't know what God's going to call you to do. What if you got called to the National Prayer Breakfast to speak next year? Would you feel comfortable going into an environment like that and handling yourself graciously? See? God is not limited. It says a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. You may be sitting here today, tomorrow, next week, next year, you could be sitting with the president, you could be doing something else. There are people that within our circle of knowledge that have had these opportunities to do these sort of things. Tolerate the weakness of those. Forgive one another. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Can that go up? Yeah, thank you. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Oh. You want to prove, show yourself as a true Christian? Then when you get squeezed and you're under pressure, what comes out? Anxiety. Really? If what we're seeing is true, when you get squeezed, the thing that pours out of you is love. More love. More love. I heard somebody yesterday say, when the pressure's on, you get squeezed, what comes out? He said, Jesus. It's Christ in you, so when you get squeezed, Christ comes out. See? But we want, sometimes the tendency of the human condition is, we want everything to be perfect. We don't expect trials and tribulations and pressure and strife and all these other things that come up. See? But that's just not reality, is it? No, it really isn't. So if you find fault with someone, which probably rarely happens, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. There's a trend in here. There's something being mentioned quite frequently. It has to do with forgiveness, offense, your understanding and working with others. It is so easy to become offended and hurt and distance yourself and put up walls. See? And believe me, the enemy's been at this a lot longer than any of you and I have been alive. He knows how to set people up in circumstances and situations to cause problems. But you know what? Like I said at the beginning, today you get a huge raise. You're amazing. You're awesome. You're great. You're valued. You're favored for promotion. Don't make it so difficult. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Set your heart, be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of His one body. And here's the icing on the cake, and this is probably a good way to close things up here. Be thankful. Be thankful. Overflowing with gratitude for your life union with Christ. It is just so easy to always point out the things you don't have, what's not going right, what I wish I did have. You know, the enemy actually pointed out to Eve in paradise one thing, and she went for it. Paradise! Okay? No bugs, no distractions, no confusion. They were walking around naked, loved it, didn't feel guilty. Right? He tempted her on one thing. And she was lured into it. And yeah, she bit into it. See? It's not an uncommon temptation. Life could be going on all around. You got beautiful houses, beautiful cars, food in the cupboard, a lot of great things. You got good jobs. You got sound mind. You're not going to the doctor. You're not laying in ICU right now. But see, somehow those things all disappear. And we get focused on the things we don't have. See. Not only here, but in other places. And this goes on, continues. Be thankful. Thankful. See. And we become like Christ in this world. You see, Jesus, seeing the man in the pit, He took a moment of time in His busy life where He could have been out doing the work of the ministry and healing and teaching and coordinating meetings and downloading videos off of YouTube and putting them in a program. Says he took the time and he reached down and offered assistance. You know, the nature of God and Christ in us cries out for us to offer assistance to the world. You don't have to go very far looking for it. Just walk outside. There will be some opportunity for you to extend what you've been so blessed with. So blessed with. We've been transformed, man. By grace. So, we started this journey, really, with I've been redeemed. What a great testimony that gentleman had about struggling with his own self-value, his own self-worth. See? And how God just said, will you just take a moment and allow me to show you what I think about you. Because all of a sudden now it's what everyone else thinks about me. Of course we want people to love us and we want to, you know, be our very best. The reality is you already are the very best. You don't have to prove anything to anybody, maybe except yourself, about the truth of God's Word being living and real. So, you know what? Take a break from being your own worst critic. It says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Do some things to bless yourself and to take care of yourself. And you know what? It's okay. All right? And God, He's not going anywhere. All right? He's going to be there. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and privilege of being able to share your word. I pray that these scriptures, Father, can just be more than words on a page. They can be living and real and in our hearts, Father. Thank you for wonderful and gracious and good opportunities to spread the good news of the gospel. And that we get this good news over our own brain cells. And that we don't get dragged down and pressed by all the weirdness of whatever may be happening. But we take a deep breath, take a walk, do something, Father, that helps us get this stuff in perspective, and it's only you that can really help us in perceiving that. So we pray for great, great wisdom, Father. Thank you for a hearing heart today to acknowledge you, to understand you, to have your voice so clear in our minds, Father, that we don't have any question about the direction that you would have us to go in. So however you need to communicate that to us, Father, just work with us. Thank you that we are humble and meek before you to listen and to bow before your throne of grace, Father. And we thank you for the righteous nature that we've been given through the work of Jesus Christ. How it allows us to stand before your very presence in the throne room, Father, to not be ashamed, but to call you Father, and for you to call us your sons and daughters. Thank you for a successful week, a successful day, a successful hour, the next 5 minutes that we walk in the authority and the power in the name above all names, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.